1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. That's right, I am the man behind the mic, your host, L. Martin, coming to you all live here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. We've got a lot to get to on today's current sports throughout these next 60 minutes. We will be diving into a few stories that are leading sports headlines across the state of Michigan. And one disturbing story that broke yesterday afternoon that pertains to an alleged rape that occurred back in 2015 concerning three Michigan State men's basketball players. We will talk about that story and we will ask the question on today's current sports. Is there a quote, cultural problem, end quote, here at Michigan State University? Yes, I know that is a very broad question, and many will argue that you can pretty much peg any college campus here in the United States of America and point to something wrong or some kind of wrongdoing or some kind of alleged wrongdoing as it pertains sexual assault. But again, Michigan State under the spotlight for quite some time now, due to various reports of alleged sexual misconduct. And it's fair to ask the question now, because now this story that broke yesterday just adds to the list of alleged happenings. And I'm going to comb through the details of this story, because this Jane Doe, this young woman, is actually suing Michigan State University, claiming that her rights were violated and that the counselors who she tried to approach to tell of this incident did not handle it correctly. That's what's being alleged here. I will be chatting around the 1:30 mark with the attorney representing the alleged victim of rape in 2015 in relation to three Michigan State men's basketball players, that attorney being Karen Truskowski. She will join me around 1:30 to comb through the details of this disturbing alleged happening. You don't want to miss it. I think it will provide some clarification to many out there. We will also try to get to some kind of sports talk as we will discuss Stan Van Gundy and his future as head coach and president of basketball operations with the Red, White, and Royal Blue. The Detroit Pistons, who fell to the Toronto Raptors last night in the home finale at Little Caesars Arena. We all know that the Pistons are not making the playoffs, so what does this mean for the future of Stan Van Gundy? Well, owner Tom Gorris spoke to the media a little after halftime to discuss the job security of Stan Van Gundy. You'll get to hear what Tom Gorris had to say. And we will also talk about Ole Miss objecting to the transfer of Shea Patterson to the University of Michigan. Interesting happenings there. So a lot to get to, as we customarily do. Our phone lines will be open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in numerous ways via social media. One way is simply by going to our Facebook.com/WKAR News Facebook page and watching the live stream, and you can comment below that video. I will do my best to try and get to your comments throughout this hour. You can tweet me directly via Twitter at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at its official Twitter handle of at WKAR_sports. But you know how we start each and every hour of current sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. And we start with breaking news that occurred yesterday. A woman who attends Michigan State University filed a federal lawsuit against the school yesterday, alleging that three former Michigan State men's basketball players sexually assaulted her at an off-campus apartment in 2015, 3 years ago, and that she was discouraged from reporting what happened or allegedly happened. The woman and players are not named in the suit, which is filed in U.S. District Court in Grand Rapids. It seeks compensatory and punitive damages. Monday's lawsuit says the female student was 18 on April 12th of 2015 when she met the players at an East Lansing bar 1 week after the team lost to Duke in the Final Four. She was later taken to an off-campus apartment where she was told a party was going on, according to the lawsuit. The suit goes on to say, quote, upon arrival, there was no party as few people were present. The woman said she was feeling discombobulated and tried to, quote, send a phone text, but she could not control her thumbs to formulate a text. At some point, the players took turns allegedly raping her in a bedroom, according to the lawsuit, which added that she had, quote, no intention of having any physical contact with any of the people present at the party. Goes on to say the plaintiff does not remember anything else until she woke up on the couch a few hours later. She called a taxi back to her dorm room and contacted University Counseling Center staff about a week later. After the woman told counseling that basketball players were involved, the young woman says the staff made it clear that if she reported it to police, quote, she faced an uphill battle that would create anxiety and unwanted media attention, according to the lawsuit. Again, this is what this young woman alleges. And again, she's going after the university, Michigan State University, suing the university, saying that her rights were violated. We will have more on this story in just a moment. And again, I remind you all that I will be talking with the attorney who is representing this Jane Doe. Attorney Karen Truskowski will join me for segment B around the 1:30 mark. So you definitely want to stick around for that chat as we can clarify any questions that may be on your mind. All right. As early as 2004, former Michigan State University president Luana K. Simon learned of concerns about Dr. William Strample, longtime dean of MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine, according to a document released Monday by Michigan State. Now, a December 21st, 2004, one-page memo sent to Simon, then MSU provost, details, quote, a matter of concern, end quote, regarding comments made by Strample during a visit to MSU's student-run telemarketing program. Now, more than 20 students expressed concerns about the remarks, said the memo, written by Charles H. Webb and Marty K.S. Heal, then VP and Associate VP for President, for University Development. The document was released by MSU in response to a FOIA request in a letter accompanying release of the memo. The university's FOIA office said it was withholding documents related to a police investigation of Schrample, who was arrested March 27th and charged with four counts of misconduct. And really disturbing things are detailed in the 2004 memo, saying that Schrample made the following remarks to students. Quote, "I may be the only straight person you ever met from Saugatuck." Quote, "One of the reasons I went to Hope College was so that I could be 50 miles away from the nearest sin. During a discussion of osteopathic practices, turned to a female student and said, quote, you probably use birth control. When a person who was, quote, obviously female raised her hand, Schrample said, quote, yes, sir, ma'am, sir, I can't tell. What's your question? End quote. Again, this is all disturbingly detailed in this 2004 memo. So you're starting to see the breadcrumbs here, right? All right. MSU spring football practice. Michigan State spring game is over, but there's still one more date on the calendar. Saturday spring game feature, the offense topping the defense. We detailed this in length on yesterday's Current Sports. That was a 32-30 final at Spartan Stadium. And the Spartans have practice number 15 scheduled for today to wrap up the spring. This is the second year in a row Michigan State opted to have its spring game before the end of spring practice. The Spartans had the spring game on April 1st last year and still had two practices remaining. Michigan's spring football game on Saturday will start earlier than previously announced. The school has set a 5:45 p.m. start time for the April 14th event at Michigan Stadium, originally promoted to start at 7 p.m. That's when the Michigan football team will begin warm-ups and start on-field drills. Michigan was, has not given a reason for the time change, nor has a format for the game been revealed. All right, we still don't know whether Shea Patterson will play for the Michigan football team in 2018. The transfer quarterback from Ole Miss has filed a waiver request with the NCAA requesting that he be able to skip the requirement that non-graduate transfers sit out at least a season before playing for their new teams. It appears Patterson's former team has no interest in helping him play this season. Patterson's request hinges on his assessment of the way Ole Miss recruited him and what the school told him about a pending NCAA investigation into its recruiting practices that eventually resulted in a 2-year bowl ban, among other things, and that was handed down during the 2017 season. So we'll keep you updated. Again, we still don't know whether Shea Patterson, the highly touted transfer from Ole Miss, will line up behind center for Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines. Michigan State baseball will host Notre Dame in a non-conference contest today. First pitch from McLane Baseball Stadium, slated for 3:02 p.m. and will be nationally televised on ESPNU. Tuesday is Autism Awareness Day at the ballpark. So today, Autism Awareness Day at the ballpark as Michigan State touts a 3-game win streak into today's action. The undermanned Detroit Pistons concluded the first season playing at Little Caesars Arena with a 108-98 loss to the Toronto Raptors last night. The Pistons squandered an early 17-point lead before falling behind by 19 points in the second half. The Pistons cut the deficit to 7 against the Raptors' reserves with 4:10 remaining, but distance was too great to make up. The Pistons were without starters Blake Griffin due to a right ankle bruise, Reggie Bullock, who had a sore left knee, and Andre Drummond, who had a sore Achilles. And Jonas Valanciunas dominated with 25 points and 9 rebounds for Toronto, who has now clinched home court advantage in the NBA's Eastern Conference playoffs. And last but not least, the Detroit Tigers lost to the Cleveland Indians 2-0 last night. Righty Corey Kluber allowed 2 hits over 8 scoreless innings for the Indians. He walked 1, struck out 13. It was the 40th time Kluber had struck out 10 or more in a game, and his 10th with 13 or more Ks. The Tigers stay in Cleveland for the moment to play the second game of that series tonight at 6:10 p.m. Also want to note the Tigers pitcher Buck Farmer left the game with a left hip spasm last night in the 7th inning. He allowed a leadoff double to ex-Tiger Rajay Davis and a one-out walk to Zimmer. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, the number to call in if you would like to be a part of today's show is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527.
Decided that we always had actually decided this, which is, you know, we're just going to meet after the season and we're going to meet next week and we're going to discuss, you know, what's going on. And at the same time, it's been, I mean, he's dedicated, you know, the last 4 years. So Stan and I are partners and there's no way I would make a decision, you know, without talking to Stan. And he's been really busy, you know, obviously with the season and stuff. So that's a decision Stan and I made.
For him to be back next year, what do you need to hear? A certain plan moving forward? I guess for him to be back next year, what do you need to hear when you guys talk next year?
Well, I think we've got to make some changes. I'm just not sure what they are. And he's been working the whole season, so I need to hear from Stan. You know, so but I can tell you this, that, you know, he's just an extremely dedicated man. You know, so I think he's been good for our franchise. That I know for sure.
You have a better sense after seeing Blake play a few more games, Reggie's come back healthier and look good in the stint that he's been there, of what this team could be next year if everyone comes back healthy?
I do. At the same time, it's just a small sample. So we can't get confused by it. So I do. I think Blake's been a great addition. He's a real leader and all of that stuff. But I don't think I'll take this small sample, the last 10, 12 games, and make it, you know, our future. Give me a chance. Give me a sign. I'll show her any time. Just to you.
Oh. Detroit Pistons owner Tom Gorris speaking with the media at halftime leading into the third quarter of last night's Detroit Pistons and Toronto Raptors, the home finale at Little Caesars Arena for the Detroit Pistons. Tom Gorris answering questions from the media as it pertains to the job security of Stan Van Gundy the best way he could. I thought he handled that very, very well last night because you knew the questions were going to come. And I agreed with what Tom had to say. You know, you at least have to sit down with Stan Van Gundy, comb through what has worked, what has not worked. And then, Tom, you have to just make an evaluation based on what you hear. And I have to agree with what Tom Gorris just said. I mean, that is a small sample size, right? It really is. You know, Van Gundy had his best three players for four games this year. Just four games. So you have to take that in consideration, without a doubt, right? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live from Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University, right here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. I wanted to start today's Current Sports with a light topic. Well, depending on who you ask, right? If you're a diehard Pistons fan, this isn't a light topic. But I wanted to start the show with some sports talk. Discussing the job security of Mr. Stan Van Gundy before we dive into the big breaking news that occurred yesterday concerning a Jane Doe, a young woman who is actually a sports journalism student here at Michigan State University, who alleges that three unnamed Michigan State men's basketball players allegedly raped her back in 2015. We'll get to that story. I'll be chatting with the attorney representing that Jane Doe, Karen Truskowski, in just a moment. But again, I want to start with, you know, I want to start your Tuesday by just talking about some sports right now. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. But the question, should Stan Van Gundy step down? Should Stan Van Gundy be fired? Should Stan Van Gundy, bottom line, be the head coach of the Detroit Pistons moving forward? So, again, when having this conversation, I know engineer Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass, I know you and your man John Simon, our guy John Simon, PA for Current Sports, you guys tackled, I believe, this question when I was away prior to last weekend, I believe, right?
Yes, sir. We talked about it a little bit on Monday, I believe, after the day of the national championship.
Right. On Monday, before you guys began to dive in and preview the Michigan and Villanova national championship game. And now that the season's officially over, well, the home season is officially over, they still have one more game that will take place on the road. And again, we this is the first time we've heard Tom Gore speak on this topic all year. This is clearly a season that performed below expectations. And this is a team that has performed below expectations under the leadership of Stan Van Gundy. I must say that. Now, yeah, they made the playoffs what, one time and they got swept. It wasn't an easy sweep, I might add, when the Pistons went out in the first round to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, which was expected. But, you know, it's really tough when you don't have. And I didn't realize, because I'm not the biggest Reggie Jackson fan. However, I didn't realize how big his absence would play out this year for the Detroit Pistons because, you know, I looked at Ish Smith and said, okay, Ish Smith is a guy who is not a ball stopper. That's what Reggie Jackson is. Let's keep it real here. Reggie Jackson is not a facilitating point guard. He's not a true point guard in that conversation. So I looked at Ish Smith. And, you know, he's such a lightning rod coming off the bench. He facilitates first, looks for a shot second. He's got great handle of the ball. But let's keep it real. Ish Smith is not a starting point guard in the NBA. Ish Smith is a solid backup point guard. So I was ignorant to that. When Reggie Jackson went out, I said, all right. I wasn't playing the violin and saying, whoa, is Pistons. I said, okay, Ish Smith could probably come in and give you some solid minutes here and really keep the wheels on the track. That's not what happened. That is not what happened. And I think at times, you know, even though Ish can put it in the bucket, he can't do it consistently. It was like a roller coaster evaluating the game of Ish Smith. So with that being said, Reggie's absence really hurt. Really hurt this team. So that you had to take that in consideration when evaluating this season. You also have to take in consideration, you know, the move when it comes to Blake Griffin, who came, you know, like mid-year. They get on a brief roll where they win four of the first five games, right? And then that became a roller coaster where you saw some inconsistent performances when it comes to just how this team gelled. You know, in light of the acquisition of Blake Griffin, this team was still trying to get used to seeing Blake Griffin out on the court and adjusting to his game. When you have a player of the caliber of Blake Griffin, who is uber talented, without a doubt, but when you thrust a player of his caliber in the starting lineup mid-year, it's going to take some time for this team to gel. So that was also a growing pain for this team and hindered this squad on any given regular season NBA night because they were still trying to figure it out while going against some pretty good competition and trying to compete for a playoff spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. But I piggyback off of that. This is the NBA's Eastern Conference, where if you have the kind of team that the Detroit Pistons have, a solid roster in the NBA's worst conference, there is no excuse. You got to make the playoffs. Simple. You got to make the playoffs. And if you don't, I don't think Stan Van Gundy should be the head coach of this team next year. I think that his days are limited. But I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him back. Because you know what? Of the excuses I just gave, I don't know if you can go. I think they're valid excuses as well. I mean, again, if you're just playing four games where you have Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, all three on the court together. You got to take that into consideration without a doubt. But I just feel like Stan Van Gundy has lost the locker room. I don't know if this team, I don't know if the fan base has really bought in now to what Stan Van Gundy has been selling throughout his brief tenure with the Detroit Pistons. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Gores gave him another year because they have a close relationship. You could hear it in that soundbite. He wants to sit down with Stan. He thinks that Stan at least deserves a sit down because he's done, because Tom Gores believes he's done some great things for this squad. And I think that he has. I mean, we saw them make the playoffs. Was that in Stan's first year?
That was his second year.
That was his second year. Second year to make the playoffs. And that's when we really started to buy in. And I said to myself, okay, you're starting to see things kind of come together. Maybe give this team, you know, a couple more years, and maybe they can be legit contenders at the top of the NBA's Eastern Conference. But that has just not happened. And the big thing for me, and again, Tom Gores is also just as guilty as Stan Van Gundy is in this respect when discussing this. The move to get Blake Griffin. Don't get me wrong. And we had James Edwards, Detroit Pistons beat reporter of The Athletic, on the show 2 weeks ago. James liked the move to acquire Blake Griffin. I don't. I didn't. I still don't. Even though, you know, Blake Griffin is a great player, I would have liked the move if it did not, in my opinion, handicap this team for the next 2 to 3 years. Because that contract is so massive. Blake Griffin is so injury prone. We saw him sit out last night, right? Now, again, he probably mostly sat out. Now, if they were in playoff contention, he wouldn't have went out there and played with an ankle injury. But he mostly sat out because this team is not making the playoffs. Why aggravate an injury? You're already injury prone in your career. But Blake Griffin is injury prone. He's a dynamic player, but that contract just, it handicaps you. If you want to surround him with other big pieces, you can't do that now. I don't know. I never liked that move. But again, Tom Gores is just as guilty because even though Stan Van Gundy is the president of basketball operations, you are the owner. And Tom did admit that, yeah, I okayed that move. You know, I'm not just going to let Stan Van Gundy do whatever he wants. I'm going to oversee this team because I am the team owner. So both Gores and Van Gundy are equally as guilty in this whole thing as well. What I want to do, I want to play a bite from Tom Gores discussing how he accepts responsibility for failing the fans. Here's what Tom Gores had to say when asked whether or not he's feeling the pressure from the Detroit Pistons fan base.
I really do. I'm disappointed, you know. So the biggest disappointment is just disappointing the fans. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it's hard to disappoint. But, hey, we had a lot of good things happen this year. We moved downtown. We're downtown, you know, so that's nice. We had the practice facility. We broke ground on that. We continue to commit to Detroit with kids and the future and the community. So we're doing a lot of things that don't necessarily represent wins, but they're wins for the city. And we're here, and I'm happy about that. But, yeah, sure, I mean, I'm disappointed that I've disappointed the fans.
Yeah. So you heard the emotion of Tom Gores there. He is disappointed. I mean, and this was a season where you looked at, especially how the Pistons started. You looked at the beginning of the season and you said, okay. I mean, the Pistons were like a top four, top three team in the NBA's Eastern Conference. But as I always say, the cream rises to the top, especially in the NBA. And they came down to earth. But let's be real here. This team should have been a 6, 7, or 8 seed, a bottom seed in the NBA's playoffs, Eastern Conference playoffs this year. But, you know, and you had the hoopla with, you know, with the Pistons moving downtown for the first time, playing at Little Caesars Arena. The expectations were high. And when you don't meet those expectations of at least getting to the playoffs, something has to change. And again, I reiterate this point of view. Before we hit our first break, I do want to get to our Kurt from Grand Ledge, who's on line one. Before I do want to reiterate this point of view that I've had dating back to last season. I believe the Pistons are in a dangerous place in the NBA because they are in this gray area, Ian, where they have good pieces, but those pieces will not get them anywhere near sniffing an NBA Finals appearance. So when you're stuck in that gray area where you look at this roster, wow, there's some really good pieces here. Reggie Jackson, a dynamic scorer, even though he's a ball stopper.
Andre Drummond, one of the best big men in the NBA, and an NBA All-Star, another All-Star in Blake Griffin. You've got some good rookies around this team. Stanley Johnson, his game started to slowly but surely come on as the year went on. Luke Kennard became the best three-point shooter on the squad. You know, they're in this dangerous gray area because they've got the pieces, but these pieces are not going to get you to an NBA Finals appearance or anywhere close to it. That's a dangerous area to be because you either got to go two ways if you want to start legitimately competing for championships in the National Basketball Association. You got to do a complete rebuild and start from scratch and start building through the draft, or you got to be all in and going after some of the big-name free agents who can make an immediate change for your franchise. The Pistons are in neither of those two modes. Real quick, we got to make this phone call quick because we do want to get to our guest for today's Current Sports, who is Karen Truskowski, the attorney representing an alleged victim of rape in 2015 in relation to three Michigan State men's basketball players. Kirk from Grand Ledge is on the line. Kirk, how are you doing, my friend, and thanks for calling in.
I'm doing just fine, Al. Well, you kind of just made my point, and that was that they can't do anything in free agency because their contracts handcuff them. And they can't do anything in the draft this year either because they traded away their first-round draft pick as part of the Blake Griffin deal.
Exactly.
So the team you see right now is the team you will have next year, of which, if that's going to be the case, my feeling is bring Van Gundy back because making a change isn't going to change anything because you can't change anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So might as well bring Van Gundy back to coach the mess he's created for one more year, and then when you actually have the opportunity to do something, then you make a change in the personnel stuff. The other little snippet I want to bring up is I know you watch Fox Sports Detroit to watch the Pistons and stuff, and I was wondering if you noticed that they haven't been hyping the April and the D thing too much. A few years back when the Pistons were in the playoffs, Red Wings were in the playoffs, the Tigers looked like they might make the run. Oh, it's April and the D, April and the D. This year, not so much.
Well, Kurt, it's so funny you bring this up. I was having this conversation with my cousin yesterday, and there's a reason why, because every franchise, every Detroit professional franchise, with the exception, I can't believe I'm saying this, of the Detroit Lions, is just out of the postseason conversation. April and the D is depressing to talk about. So, yeah, I noticed that too. They're not hyping that up, are they?
No, it's hard to put lipstick on a pig, you know?
Very true. All right, Kirk, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with Karen Truskowski, who is the attorney representing an alleged victim of rape in 2015 in relation to three Michigan State men's basketball players. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A federal lawsuit was filed Monday against Michigan State University and three former MSU basketball players by a female student who accuses the athletes of sexually assaulting her at an off-campus apartment. The woman and players are not named in the suit, which was filed in U.S. District Court in Grand Rapids. Michigan State, as we all know, has been rocked for months by a sexual assault scandal involving a former sports doctor and Larry Nassar that now includes his ex-boss and William Strample. Three ex-football players also were charged last year with sexual assault. The woman in Monday's lawsuit remains a student here at Michigan State University. And right now we welcome to WKAR's Current Sports the attorney representing the alleged victim of rape in 2015 in relation to three Michigan State men's basketball players, Karen Truskowski. Karen, thank you so much for your time on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you?
I'm very good, sir. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
All right, Karen, I want to get right to it. First off, how is the alleged victim holding up, and what have these last 3 years been like for her, dating back to 2015, where this allegedly took place?
Well, Al, she's doing as best as anyone could expect under the circumstances. It certainly has been a difficult road for her and for her family. But she's very strong, she's very smart, and she has worked diligently to continue her education and persevere. So she's doing as best as she can under the circumstances.
And she's still a student here at Michigan State University, as I mentioned, right? I just want to confirm that.
Yes, sir, she is.
That's great. Is she close to graduating?
She can see the light at the end of the tunnel, yes.
Gotcha. That's a good way to yes. put it. All yeah. right. Well, Karen, can you take our listeners through what she is alleging happened back in April of 2015? Can you take us through the suit?
Well, the crux of what's going on is that, you know, this incident took place with these three gentlemen, and afterwards, when she sought help from the counseling center, she was basically met with negativity and was frightened to the point of, you know, she couldn't pursue it after that. She was told, you know, we've had this happen before, and we see what happens to young women that pursue this. And it's very difficult for them. And as I quoted in the complaint, she was told, if you do pursue this, you're going to be swimming with some really big fish. So that frightened her to the point where she decided not to pursue it any further.
Karen, why does she feel that now is the right time to come forth and let her story be heard and go after the university?
Well, that's a really good question, and a lot of people have asked me that. And the simple answer is that watching what's taking place and the tenor of what's going on across the country and here in Michigan and at MSU has given her the strength to say, you know what, I really need to say something. I really need to do something now, and it's just given her that support and the ability to do it. And she doesn't want to see it happen to other people. You know, much like all the other survivors say the same thing. We don't want this to continue, and we don't want it to happen to other young women and other young men, you know, that are following behind these people that this has happened to.
So Karen, will there be an investigation into how the university handled this alleged sexual assault? And can this lead to a possible investigation of the alleged incident itself 3 years ago?
Well, as far as an investigation that the university might conduct, I can't speak to that. I don't really know. Certainly, you know, as part of the procedure of our lawsuit, as it continues, we will be asking questions and talking to different people to find out, to get more information. But I can't say whether MSU is going to do their own investigation. I'm sure that they will be talking to the people that are involved, mm-hmm. the people that were in those offices at that time, and certainly will be trying to discern what did happen. I'm sure they're going to be looking into it, absolutely.
I'm sure you've talked to your client. What kind of mental state is she in right now since this story broke yesterday? I mean, it's making national news. It's on the front page of ESPN.com. You know, Many people have been talking about it. Has there been any backlash or a public criticism that she has read or felt since yesterday?
Well, my advice to her was, you know, focus on school, and that's what she's trying to do. As far as backlash, I mean, obviously there's always going to be comments made by people that don't know the story and don't really know what happened, and that's going to happen. But overall, the support and the commentary that I'm seeing from the outlets across the country has been, for the most part, the majority part, has been positive.
Just want to ask this. Oh, I'm sorry.
She's doing well. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So she's doing well. She's doing well, though.
She is, yes. She is.
Okay, I just want to ask this question, Karen. Has anyone from the Michigan State men's basketball program or MSU athletics tried to get in contact with your client?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, that has not taken place.
Okay. And I also understand, Karen, that you are also the attorney for the alleged victim in the MSU football sexual assault case. And I just want to ask you this, Karen. Is there a cultural problem at MSU when it pertains to male athletes and females here on this campus?
Well, it would. I wish I could say no, but it certainly seems that as time goes by and more people come forward and more information comes forward, it seems to be pointing in that direction. And I would say that is there's definitely something there. There's something going on that needs to be addressed. So I would say yes, that's probably an accurate statement.
What kind of outcome is your client seeking in this lawsuit?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, one thing she really wants is for people to know that they can come forward, that they can have support, and that we need to address these things and not let them remain in the shadows. And I think that's probably the most important thing for her, is that this is a catalyst, along with what all the other things that are going on, a catalyst for some change and to address what's happening.
Now, when it comes to this suit, Karen, this is going after Michigan State University. This isn't pertaining to the three unnamed basketball players, right? Are you guys trying to sue those three unnamed players as well, or is this just strictly Michigan State University?
They are not named as defendants in the suit at this point, no.
Okay, at this point.
Yes. This is not about really that what happened. This is about the response of the university and the difficulties that she's encountered because of that.
So you said at this point, is there a possibility that could be the case later on down the road when it comes to these three unnamed players?
That's something I really can't comment on right now. But at this point, they're not named defendants.
Okay. Karen, am I missing anything? What else do you want people to know or understand about this suit and this young woman?
Well, I think what's really important for people to remember, even though that, you know, this whole situation is revolving around sports, it's not about sports. It's about the lives of these people. And that's what we need to keep focusing on, is what's going on in the lives of these individuals and focus on that. And sometimes it involves athletes and the sports program, but in the end, it's really about, you know, the individual lives that are affected. And I want to focus on that.
Certainly, and I'm sure that when it comes to this allegation, I mean, many people are reading and following this story and saying, really, something needs to change. You know, I mean, if it is found true that this individual at the counselor's office did discourage her from coming forward, that also speaks to that cultural problem, right, Karen?
I would say that is definitely an accurate statement. Yes. If what we've alleged and what we think happened did happen, then we want to make sure that culture has changed and there's some adjustments that are made. Absolutely.
All right, Karen. One final question, but before we get you out of here, I do just want to ask a question pertaining to the three former Michigan State University football players who were mm-hmm. accused in the 2017 sexual assault of a woman in an apartment bathroom. Those three have pleaded guilty to reduce charges. Those players being Josh King, Donnie Corley Jr., and Demetric Vance, they pleaded guilty. It pertains to Act 328 of 1931 in the Michigan Penal Code, stating, quote, any man who shall seduce and debauch any unmarried woman shall be guilty of a felony. The charge is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. That outcome for your client in that case, is that the one that she wanted? Does she feel comfortable with that?
Well, there's certainly, you know, any plea bargain like that is definitely difficult for any victim to take because it feels like, you know, sometimes the victim or the survivor walks away thinking that they got away with it and they didn't get a harsh enough punishment. You know, the alternative is going to trial, and sometimes that can be even more traumatizing than the original than itself. So in that respect, she was well-informed and made the decision to agree to the pleas. Is she happy with it, or, you know, no, probably not, because it was definitely a difficult pill to swallow, I think is a good way to put it.
Right, right. So
the family has certainly, talked about, you know, their feelings about it, but it's we have to go on from here and hope that those three gentlemen also have learned from this experience and will go on and not do what they did to somebody else.
So she's not totally happy with the outcome, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, she's not. I mean, I don't think anybody would be. It's difficult to say anybody would be happy in that situation. That's a people ask me that. Is she happy with it? I don't think happy is a good word. Was she well informed and made an informed decision? Yes, she did.
Okay, and the sentencing, when it comes to that case, is scheduled for June 6th in front of Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. All right. Again, we've been chatting with Karen Truskowski, attorney representing an alleged victim of rape in 2015 in relation to three unnamed Michigan State men's basketball players. Karen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will have a discussion about what we just heard with Karen Truskowski. Comments, concerns, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I would love to hear from you, especially when it pertains to the question whether or not there is a cultural problem. You know, it's a cliche question, but we've heard it a lot in these past few months, right? This past year. But I think it's a valid one to ask now when you start to hear, again, new stories come out like this one. Call in 517-355-WKAR. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, the man behind the glass. We just finished chatting with Karen Truskowski, attorney representing an alleged victim of rape in 2015 in relation to three Michigan State men's basketball players. I don't know if you read the details of this allegation, but they are pretty disturbing. And just to comb through, well, first off, thoughts on what Karen had to say?
I think she was very well spoken. Didn't want to, you know, reveal too much about her client
Of course, you can't, right?
Yeah, exactly. So very, very attorney-like in some of her statements, I thought. But I mean, she did what she was supposed to do. You know, just talk about the case as much as she can. So I have no problem with any of her comments. As far as the case itself goes, like you say, very disturbing, especially that something like that could happen here at Michigan State. And really at this point, with so many stories coming out about the men's basketball program and the football program, it's making me start to wonder myself how much people at the top or people higher up actually knew about these things.
If it was just
one story, like the Keith Appling and Adrian Payne story was the only story, or the Travis Walton story was the only story, then you might be able to say, all right, you know, maybe it was just Travis Walton that, you know, did these things, and then or maybe it was Adrian Payne and Keith Appling and whoever the counselor was that moved them rooms that knew, and, you know, Izzo or Dwayne Stevens or Dane Fife or whoever may have been.
I want to say this. All of this is alleged.
Yes.
Got to say that as a journalist. Nothing has been proven here. All of this is alleged. I want to make that be known, one. Number two, I'll also say this as well. You know, I always say mama didn't raise no dummy. All right? When you see the amount of stories and the amount of allegations that are coming out and have been coming out for more than a year now, it does make you look at Michigan State and say, and raise an eyebrow or three, right? Because when I read this report, and this one in particular really hits home, if it didn't already, because it's happening here at Michigan State University, where WKAR is located, right? Where we do our show each and every day at 1 p.m. But the fact that, you know, we're talking about a sports journalism student. We work with sports journalism students on the daily here, Ian, as you know. You're one yourself, right? We've got another
one,
you know, Alec, behind the glass right now. I mean, we've got countless interns and production assistants who major in sports journalism who work directly here at WKAR. And it really turned my stomach when I read the allegation and when I read allegedly what happened on the night of April 11, 2015. Just briefly here, before we close out, this is what is being alleged. Karen didn't want to go into the details because those facts are already out there. But I do want to throw it out. If you have not read the details of that night, this is what the lawsuit alleges happened. The night of April 11, 2015, the morning of April 12th, she went to Harper's Bar in East Lansing with her roommate. Sometime after midnight, most of the MSU basketball team arrived at the bar. The team had arrived in East Lansing earlier in the week after being eliminated in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. One of the players, John Doe 1, offered to buy Jane Doe a drink. She accepted. John Doe 1 asked her if she wanted to meet, quote, other guys on the basketball team. Due to her interest in becoming a sports journalist, she says she wanted to meet the team. The lawsuit also states that she never indicated she had a, quote, romantic interest in any of the team members. One of the players asked her if she wanted to come to her apartment, or I should say their apartment, for a party. They lied and told Jane Doe that her roommate was already on her way to the party. At this point, plaintiff was having a hard time holding on to her glass, even though she had not had a lot to drink. She went with the players to John Doe 2's off-campus apartment. The lawsuit states that there were a few people at the apartment and it was not a party. Jane Doe realized that her roommate was not there. She attempted to send a text but did not have enough control over her fingers. John Doe 1 pulled Jane Doe into a bedroom and said, quote, "You are mine for the night." She says she managed to leave the bedroom and go back to the living room. This is where she realized that something was wrong and she thought she might have been drugged. The lawsuit says that three MSU basketball players, John Doe 1, John Doe 2, and John Doe 3, raped Jane Doe. The next morning, she called a taxi, went back to her dorm room. When she met her roommate, she found out that her roommate didn't know anything about the party and had been looking for Jane Doe, but could not find her. Jane Doe was traumatized from the events. She confided in a second individual from her dorm room. That friend took her to the Michigan State University Counseling Center, where Jane Doe reported the rape to a counselor and completed an intake and assessment. The lawsuit states that when Jane Doe made it clear that her attackers were notable Michigan State University athletes, the counselor told her she needed another person in the room. It also states that the counselor's demeanor completely changed. Another staff person was brought into the room. The staff told Jane Doe that her options were to either file a police report or, quote, deal with the aftermath of the rape on her own. Staff told her that if she chose to go to the police, she would face negative media attention. Comments made by the staff, quote, to the effect of, we have had many other students in the same situation who have reported, and it has been a very traumatic experience for them. They indicated to her that the best thing she could do was to, quote, just get yourself better, suggesting that she should not report the rape to police. They also said, quote, if you pursue this, you are going to be swimming with some really big fish, end quote. Again, that is coming directly from this lawsuit in which a Jane Doe is alleging that three unnamed Michigan State men's basketball players raped her. Got a lot festering on my mind right now, Ian. We only have 90 seconds left, but I wanted to lay out everything on the table, have Karen Truskowski on the show where you could hear her side of things, you know, as it pertains to her client. I wanted to give you what the allegations are and comb through the story, because there are still a few points that are on my mind that I want to get to. And I will, leading tomorrow's current sports. Let this marinate for 23 hours. We'll be back at it, same time, same place. In the meantime, you have been listening to Current Sports Live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Much thanks to all of you who tuned in via radio, who are listening via the podcast at WKAR.org, who are watching and listening at Facebook.com/WKAR News. Hope you have a great Tuesday afternoon and evening. We'll see you on Wednesday, folks. As always, be easy, people.